You may be seated. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, as we come together in these moments, we are so thankful for the new and the old to be brought together in this place today. From the return of beloved friends of many years to the introduction of new friends who will be friends for many years. It is a great place to be in this moment, Lord God, feeling your spirit here among us. Encounter us now where we most need to be met. Empower us by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Indeed, it is a great day with those who have come here to be with us, from our past to our new folks. It reminds us of the beauty and grace of when people who don't know each other can get to know each other and to be a part of the same community. In that spirit, I would like to share with you a little bit about a friend of mine who I hope that you will get to know one day. It is my oldest and dearest friend, Glenn Hubbard, and I thought of him today as I was preparing for our sermon, because Glenn is a man of incredible gifts and talents, many, many, many gifts and talents. In his current job, he is a professor at East Carolina University in the communications department, and he is widely respected in his field, and he is very well known as one of the finest teachers in communications throughout the United States. He is incredibly loved by his students and really enjoys that. But that's just one piece of who he is. He's also as fine a musician as I've ever known. He plays every instrument you can imagine, and he's tremendous at them. He's a great piano player and bass player, but he would say he plays drums the best, but he's a wonderful guitar player. When he comes to visit us, we play Stump the Glen, and what we'll do is we'll say, okay, Glenn, can you play whatever song, and he sits there and just plays it by ear. He can't read music. But, well, I'm sure he can read a little bit, but he doesn't read music. He's just an incredible musician. He was someone who is not only a wonderful friend, but he also understands how to do, like sound recording and all of those things. He could set all of that stuff up. Though he's just an incredibly gifted, talented guy. He played baseball with me. Just has so many gifts and talents. But of all of them, I think perhaps the thing that just inspires me more than them all is his ability to make analogies. Now, do you guys know people who make really awesome analogies? I mean, that's a gift. I actually think the two best I've ever seen in the world, in my experience of life and making analogies, are Glenn Hubbard and Jesus Christ. I'm serious. And that's why I thought of Glenn today. Now, just to give you a couple of examples of Glenn's, you know, he's done so many over the years, and I texted him last night, and so I said, I can't remember them all, but here, let me give you a chance to give me a couple new. He just came up with these last night. You ready? I asked him, what's it like to be in a band? What's it like to be in a band? This was his analogy. Being in a band is like applesauce. It's not the greatest thing in the world, but in the moment, it's pretty darn good. Now, those of you that have been in band, is that apt? That's a pretty apt statement, isn't it? It's not the greatest thing. Then I ask him, okay, because he has a beard, because, professors have beards and long hair. He has beard and long hair. I said, Glenn, what's it like to have a beard? And he wrote back, and this is brilliant. Having a beard is just like not having a beard. But you don't have to shave. I mean, think about it. All right? Finally, I told you he's an incredible musician. His favorite band of all time, the Beatles. Any Beatles fans out there? All right. Okay. You know you have Team John Lennon, Team Paul McCartney? Yeah, he is Team Paul McCartney. Okay? He loves Paul McCartney. I asked him, so what's it like to see Paul McCartney live? And this is what he said. It's brilliant. Seeing Paul McCartney live is like seeing Babe Ruth play for the Yankees, but playing today and still being the best. Think about that. Seeing Paul McCartney live for him is like if Babe Ruth were playing right now and he was still the best there ever was. That's Glenn's gift for analogies. I thought of him today. Because if you look at those analogies, they kind of are able to take you to say, huh, to a deeper truth. And that's exactly what Jesus does today. I invite you, if you have your Bibles with you, if you want to open them up, one of the ones in front of you, or open up your bulletin to our lesson today in chapter 13. We're starting at verse 31. I want to walk with you a bit through these analogies that Jesus makes, because I believe that what they do is do exactly what a good analogy is supposed to. It helps us to understand something in a new and creative and different way. Now, what Jesus is doing today is making analogies, helping people to understand what the kingdom of heaven is like. And I want you to have a little bit of a paradigm shift here. I don't want you to think of this as he's telling us what it's going to be like in the afterlife. Because here, when we talk about what the kingdom of heaven is like, remember, what does Jesus say? I have brought the kingdom near, right? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? So what Jesus is saying is that in him, in the kingdom of heaven, that we experience that now, in the moment, here. And so what he's saying is, let's see what the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Jesus, is like. And notice how it begins. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it grows to the greatest shrubs and becomes a tree. Now, scholars will tell us that that's actually not accurate. It's not the greatest of shrubs. But the point there really is the fact that the kingdom of heaven, and we often make it about faith, that if you just have the smallest amount of faith, you can still get to heaven. I believe that is true. But how about think of it from this perspective? That experiencing the kingdom of heaven in just a small dose is enough for you to have a real encounter with the living God. Maybe you don't have the mountaintop, oh my goodness, experience, but instead, maybe it's just a moment of hearing that ensemble with Jan sing this morning. A small moment like that that moves you, and a little glimpse of the peace of heaven. Perhaps it is a scripture reading that you read in the moment in the morning that hits you just as you need it. That experiencing the kingdom of God, all it takes is a little bit. All it takes is one drop of the Holy Spirit-infused kingdom of heaven to come near for you to have a real encounter with who God is. Perhaps what Jesus is teaching us here, the analogy, is that if we can be focused as much on the small moments of kingdom intrusion, then perhaps those combined on top of one another lead us into a beautiful experience and a grand experience of grace. You remember the story of the man with the sea, starfish. You know that story? There's a ton of them, and the guy takes them and starts throwing a couple out. Somebody says, why are you doing it? It's not making any difference. And he said it made a difference to that one. And that, friends, as we experience our little moments of grace in our lives, then we can then share those moments, even if they're small, with another. And I believe that that can then build and grow something beautiful. Be on the lookout for those small mustard seed moments of God's infusion of grace into your life. The second parable then says something beautiful. I was talking with Clarence and Loretta today, the Honers, and their grandson, Timothy, is here with us, also from out west, from New Mexico, and he learned how to bake bread yesterday, right? You learned to bake bread. Well, did you use yeast? And what did the yeast do, Timothy? It made the bread what? Rise. So the kingdom of heaven is going to be experienced when what's happening? When things are being built up. When people's lives are being built up, not torn down, not broken, but built up. Think about the moments when people have built you up, when you have felt built up, when in the midst of crisis or burdens, you have felt a sense of strength and peace. Then that was the experience of the kingdom of heaven. That the characteristic of Jesus' world is a world that builds each other up. You think that perhaps that would be something good for us to do with each other? For us to do with those around us? To build up those who have felt broken and hurt, who are in the midst of struggle and pain. The kingdom of heaven, it just takes a little bit, and just a little bit of building up, and great, beautiful things happen. And when we start experiencing that, well, that's what these next two parables tell us about. We jump ahead a little bit. We move up to verse 44. And these next two are very similar. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field, found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, and finding one of great value, sells all he has and buys it. Really, the kingdom of heaven is one that brings joy. And just a small dose of this uplifting joy can be so much that that's all we want to have in our lives. We turn our lives over to that. He says the kingdom of heaven is one that will demand your blessed grace and commitment. It will, it must. Because what can be greater than that which builds us up and offers us grace so that we might live and be beyond all that we could ever be? And this kingdom of heaven that Jesus talks about, finally he tells us it's like a net that's thrown into the sea and catches fish of every kind. It tells us that this kingdom of heaven is one where only a small dose can do amazing things. It is one that will build you up and bring you joy and give you purpose and passion in life. And it is given and for all people, meaning that this kingdom is all-inclusive. All-inclusive for any who will desire to follow and give their heart to this Jesus. A kingdom of heaven doesn't need the biggest faith. It'll take a little trust. The kingdom of heaven will build you up. The kingdom of heaven will be priceless and will invite you into joy and passion. And the kingdom of heaven will reach out to all. That's what Jesus is telling us today. He says, have you understood this? Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of the household. Guess what, brothers and sisters? That is you. You are now trained as a scribe in the kingdom of heaven because you have heard the message. You have heard the news. You have heard the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near. Let us share this news. Let us live it. Let us proclaim it. Let us be the good news together. In Jesus' name, amen.